Australians are expressing all kinds of emotions today after the execution of Andrew Chan and Myuran Sukumaran in the early hours of this morning. There's been a mixture of anger directed at Indonesian authorities, political moves, calls for an end to the death penalty, but probably the biggest emotion of all is the grief that friends, family and supporters are no doubt experiencing. Among those friends is Sandra Cavallo. Sandra is the pastoral care coordinator at Bayside Church, Melbourne, the home church of Christy Buckingham, who Myuran chose as his pastoral support person for his final hours. Sandra herself has visited and ministered with these two young men, and she joins me now. Sandra, thank you for your time.
Thank you, Claire.
Sandra, first, how are you going? I guess you've had better days.
Oh, absolutely. Incredibly sad, but I guess at the same time, it's one of those bittersweet moments where, yeah, we're sad that our two friends have gone, but I also know that they are in a very good place, so it's a bittersweet thing at the moment.
Mm. And how did you spend your time last night? Were you waiting up for the news? Did you stay up late?
Yes, I did. I stayed up watching the news till about 12 o'clock and then I decided to have a couple hours sleep and then I got up at about 2 and stayed awake till I heard of the news.
We've been hearing Christy Buckingham's name a lot in the media over the past few days. We've learnt that she was the pastor who Myuran Sukumaran chose to be with him as his spiritual support in his final hours. And at one point yesterday, the Indonesian government were going to deny this right to the guys to have a support person, but in the end allowed the pastors to be there, even at the execution. Tell us how the relationship between Christy and these men came about.
Well, the relationship started several years ago when Christy was invited by a good friend of hers who's a pastor in Bali. She invited Christy and her husband Rob to go in and meet the two young men, and basically a relationship was formed from there. And at the end of that meeting time, they both said to the boys, you know, if there's anything we can do, let us know. And I guess from there, a relationship was really formed, and both Rob and Christy have gone back and forwards to Bali supporting the two men in their various projects, particularly Andrew in his church services in the prison and his desire to start a cooking school in the prison, as well as Myuran, his art rehabilitation program and the computer classes.
And I read in one of the newspapers that Christy's heart for these guys, her compassion, started long before she even met them.
Yes, absolutely. When she had heard about the Bali Nine being caught, she journaled that day, "How stupid can you be and still breathe, yet, Lord, show your mercy." Mm-hmm. She penned that into her journal and prayed. It was particularly affected, I guess, by what had transpired. I don't think she ever thought she would be so close to them in their final hours.
It's interesting how God answered her prayer.
Oh, absolutely.
Mm. And so she started taking small groups in from your church to minister at the prison, Karabakan?
Yes, that's right. In 2013, in May, just a very, very small group, including myself. I happened to just be in Bali for a holiday, and they were there. Rob and Christy happened to be in Indonesia as well. And so just a very small group of us went in, and we ministered. We took in hygiene packs for all the prisoners and food, understanding that the prisoners don't get very much in way of support. They get like a cup of rice a day to eat, and so they're pretty much relying on a way to be self-sufficient in being able to support themselves. So we ran church services, and we also had an opportunity to see the art rehabilitation program that Myuran had started. But that was a real eye-opener to see all the work that the two boys had already started to initiate. As I understand it, none of these programs existed. The boys had decided that, you know, they were going to try and make good. I think they really truly believed that, or hoping for, that their death sentence would be commuted to life. And so they had pretty much had come to the place of thinking, well, if this is where we're going to live out our days, then let's make good of it and let's do something good. And so, you know, you've got one or two choices when you're in a prison like that. You either become more destructive or you do something that is good and positive. And I've heard Myuran say one other time that, you know, it is actually harder to do something good It's harder to motivate, but, you know, he made that decision and Andrew made that decision. And as a result, all the prisoners in there have hugely benefited.
What were these two men like, their personalities?
Very different personalities. Andrew, just such a larrikin, such a fun-loving guy, very extrovert, chatterbox, always cracking a joke. Myuran, on the other hand, quite a deep thinker, quite serious. Doesn't say very much, but you know that he's always thinking something. Mm. So very different personalities.
And people have wondered about their beliefs and whether that was genuine or just for show, but they both had a real faith journey, didn't they?
Yes, they did. Andrew was actually exposed to Christianity when he was a teenager through a friend. And popped along to youth groups every now and again. Myuran, his parents were going to a Pentecostal church, and unfortunately both the boys just got off the wrong tracks, got in the wrong crowd, made the wrong types of friends. Andrew had become addicted to heroin at the age of 14, mm. and you know, went on to both doing the things that they've done, which were completely wrong. Andrew came to faith in terms of his own personal journey shortly after he was caught and really reached out to God. Mm. And Myuran, I believe, always had a faith, but I think, you know, it's really been in the past several months that he's really solidified that faith and really drawn close to God and drawn on his faith in this time.
And Andrew told you his story of how he recommitted his heart to God, is that right?
Yeah, he did. On the first time when I met him, I just had an opportunity just to chat with him, and I just said to him, you know, I'm so fascinated, because I could see there was a genuine love for God in the way he ministered amongst the prisoners, and I was just curious. You know, you have a perception in your head of what a drug smuggler is like, and he wasn't presenting it. So I just asked him, you know, how is it that you came to faith, and he talked to me and said that in the early days when he was captured, he was in a cell and it was dark and he hadn't seen anybody, seen any family or anything like that, and he just said a very simple prayer in his cell and said, God, if you're real, please show me yourself. And the next day, because he was pretty much in an isolation cell, someone tapped on his door and said, there's someone to see you, and it was his good friend David Stopper, who is a Salvation Army guy, and his brother Michael. They had both come to see him, and he was just overwhelmed. Mm. And he said to if my memory serves me right, he said to David, I want a Bible, I need a Bible. And so David and Michael then set out to try and find an English Bible in Bali, and brought it back to Andrew, and David just said to him, you know, read the Gospels. And so every day he would just read the Gospels, and eventually he gave his heart to the Lord.
Mm. What you're saying there about, particularly about Andrew's story of his dramatic turnaround, it really reminds us that you never should give up on someone who's, I guess, wayward. There's always a chance that they can turn around.
Well, I believe that is a story of redemption. We're all broken people. None of us are perfect. We've all done stuff that is wrong. Sure, you know, some crimes and some things are more serious than others. But at the end of the day, we're faulted human beings. And I guess the beauty about Andrew and Mayu's story is that it's a story that of reformation, of God's grace. They've both experienced God's grace, and as a result of experiencing that grace, they desired to do good and to right their wrongs and to become better people. And and that's a powerful story. Last night, I don't see it as two drug smugglers that were executed. I see it as a painter and a pastor that were executed, because they certainly weren't the two people that they were from 10 years ago. And I think that is powerful. I think we all have to believe that there is the possibility of change. There is the possibility of doing right. And only when we experience God's grace are we enabled to do that.
And for those who supported the Mercy campaign and followed the story closely, I think that there would be people experiencing grief who had not even met these guys. How would you say people should be processing that grief?
Look, I think grief is a very personal thing, and it obviously goes into various waves. And I'm no doubt, I mean, seeing it on social media and listening to talkback radio, there are people who are angry, there are people who are sad, because it is a waste of life. These two men could have been shining examples of a prison system that works, rather than just be, you know, executed after 10 years of being in prison. So for a number of ways, I think, you know, we have to be wise in how we process this. For me personally, I think it's about ensuring that the death penalty is abolished and getting that message out there. It's a ridiculous waste, and I don't think executing is solving the problem. And so I think it is very much a personal decision. I believe that people have to be able to express their grief and sadness. And I think community is a great way to do that, finding places where there are others who are feeling the same. And whether that be on social media, there are Facebook pages where people are expressing their grief, or whether that's at a vigil. We've seen that in the past months, people gathering together, trying to make work this out and to express how they feel. I believe we just need to find the right outlets and really think about, okay, if we make a decision, what are the consequences of that those decisions? And I believe we need to pray for our government as they make those decisions as a nation.
And just lastly, may I ask, how are Rob and Christy doing? Have you spoken to them today?
No, I haven't. I haven't spoken to Christy and, briefly to Rob just on a text. I'm really respecting this as a time of, personal mourning and just giving them some space.
Well, Sandra, despite the politics and many viewpoints on this story, our heart goes out to you and to their other grieving family and friends, and I thank you for your time.
Thank you so much, Claire.
Sandra Cavallo, who's the pastoral care coordinator at Bayside Church in Melbourne, she ministered with Andrew Chan and Myron Sukumaran in prison in Bali.